Welcome. You're joining us for the new Executive Leadership Summit. My name is Jennifer Olson. My guest today is an amazing individual. She's hardworking, she's passionate and innovative. She's a leader, a business owner, and a speaker who has a gift for communicating with others in a way that inspires them to take action. My guest today is Crystal Covington. Now, Crystal is an expert in the art of personal influence. She has over 12 years of experience in sales and marketing and corporate communication roles, and provides coaching and communication services to small businesses nationwide. She was also the 2015 recipient of the Outstanding Transamerica Woman Leader Award. One past client brilliantly describes her by saying, "It is immediately evident that Crystal is passionate, brilliant, and hardworking. But what really sets her apart as a leader is her humility, her approachability, and the sincere desire to be of service to other leaders. She works tirelessly to connect, to educate, and empower others. And as a result, she quickly earns respect and galvanizes teams to action." So now that I've given our listeners an overview, Crystal, it would be great if you could take a minute to tell us about who you are personally so we can get to know the real you.
Well, great. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. It is very, 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 it's a special experience to have the opportunity to have someone introduce you that way. It's powerful. My life has been an incredible journey of just trying different things, trying on different lifestyles, different opportunities, and just seeing what fits. I am a journey person that just kind of loves to experience life and try new things and see what I feel in those different opportunities. So I'm glad to be here and glad to have the opportunity to chat with you today.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. And so tell us a little bit about who you are, meaning, you know, did you grow up in a small family, a big family? What does your personal life look a little bit like today?
Oh, I'm a small town girl. I grew up in a town most people have never heard of called Muskegon, Michigan. Mm. And I was the quiet person, the introvert, and always had to learn the hard way that, and this is where a lot of what I do now kind of comes into play, is I used to get passed over a lot for different things because I was just too quiet. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was, yeah, some people would have called me a loner, but eventually as I grew up, I started experimenting with learning how to communicate with people, how to shake a hand, just little basic things, you know, how to make sure I'm looking people in the eyes. I was not that person. I had to teach myself just to be minimally social. It's a funny story today because everybody now would say I'm an extrovert. They believe I'm an extrovert, and it's completely not true.
I love that. I'm going to keep that in mind as we go through because I love that imagery. So tell us a little bit about what your business is all about and what you're seeking to do as a leader in that business.
So I have a business called Women of Denver. It actually started as an idea my husband and I had. We have always been in the training space, especially him. And we had a business previously where we would go and teach at, he would go and teach at corporations, and I was kind of the behind-the-scenes person. But eventually, I started learning to come into my own voice, and I decided, okay, well, now I'm ready to start training and teaching and becoming more of a visible face of our business. And so Women of Denver is kind of my arm of the business that we both share, and it incorporates all of the marketing and sales and business development experience that I have and all of the studies that I've done in human connection. And I take all of that and I use it to help to develop their professional brands. I do a lot of coaching in terms of professional branding, helping people to build their authority in their field. And I also help a lot with building that network because a lot of people don't really know what it means to have a network and how powerful that can be. So my business helps people to, Women of Denver helps our members to really understand the value of that network and to start developing it strategically.
That's great. And so what is one thing you do every day to take a step towards that leadership vision?
Oh, every day talking to new people, asking people what is it that you need, and waiting and listening for that answer and asking follow-up questions. That's how I learn every single day if what I'm doing is valuable and if what I'm doing can evolve to be better for other people.
Crystal, I love that you say that that's something you do every day, that you're listening, that you're asking questions, and that that's part of just how you're going through your business. Because I think a lot of people out there, they're not seeking feedback on a regular basis, and they're not able to really see how their message is landing and seeing how their services are landing, which is so incredibly important if you're going to have a thriving business and if you're going to really take into account how others see you. So I love that you're doing that every day as part of your leadership.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't do it because it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, realistically, I am one of those people that I had not had much negative feedback in my life. So when I first started doing that and actually asking for honest feedback, I was disheartened whenever I received bad feedback, and I would take it to heart and panic over it. I'd say, oh no, she says that, you know, what I did wasn't effective, and so I would be hurt. And now I understand that rather than being hurt by it, I need to understand it, dissect it, and learn to make that change. And most of the feedback is usually positive, of course, but those few instances of negative feedback where someone tells you, you know, something that you need to improve, those are hard to take.
Yeah, I can imagine. And as long as we're on that thread, let's dive into, you know, the harder part of business, right? Since we're talking about that, you know, I'm really on a mission for leaders to share not just their successes, but really share the mistakes, share the stumbling blocks, share the failures that we have, because that's where the most growth usually occurs for us. So I'm curious, Crystal, tell us about a failure in your own journey. And if you could kind of start with the events that led up to that, that would be great.
This is a funny story, but a sad one at the same time. Back when I was a college student, lace front wigs. If you've never heard of those, they're wigs that have the hair is strung onto kind of a lace cap, like a nylon stocking, and so it looks invisible. And they're often used for people who have gone through chemotherapy and have lost their hair. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was really big on eBay to sell those, so I could buy them for $100 or $150, depending on the length of the hair, from a vendor overseas. And then I would resell them in the United States on eBay for $400 to $500, depending on where the listing ended. And that was really helping me to provide for myself in college. Instead of buying Pop-Tarts, I was buying chicken. My father was my first investor in that business, and I was able to double his money through that. But mm-hmm. at one point, it eventually dried up, and, you know, I thought this was going to last forever. I had engrossed myself in learning everything there is to know about wigs and fake hair. And at some point, it became the eBay listing started drying up, where I would think that they would sell for $450, and they started selling for as low as $120. So I was losing money. And I had a whole inventory from the money that my father had given me. I had basically a dorm room full of lace wigs that I couldn't get rid of.
Mm.
So I ended up really learning a big lesson in the fact that I didn't have capital at the time. I didn't even know what capital was or why I would need to have that. And I also had been using a lot. I just thought that the business was going to be so successful and it was going to last forever that I was using credit cards to finance, you know, getting more wigs, because I wanted that continuous cash flow to keep coming. So So in the end, of course, you can imagine I ended up in a bunch of credit card debt as a college student and had no income to pay it back. So I was in a little heap of trouble, but it was a definite learning lesson and the reason I ended up getting my MBA so that I would never end up in that situation again.
Wow. That really shows a whole different level, right, to kind of a fortuitous journey that you had yourself on in terms of who you thought as an entrepreneur, right? You were launching into a business that was going to help support you. And then it becomes a huge learning opportunity that then takes you to the next step in business. I love that. That was amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, that was definitely a huge lesson and a big part of my development.
Absolutely. Now that you've shared a little bit about really a tough point in your leadership journey, I'd love to hear about a skill or a strategy or a tool that you're really passionate about that you learned was a key or a catalyst in your own personal and professional success. What kind of thing or moment was that for you?
I'd say after college, I started getting into the corporate world and working various jobs, a lot of them, of course, in sales, because those are the easiest to get when you're young and you're just fresh out of school. And one thing I realized was that my introversion, my quietness, it was really causing me problems. I was not getting the sales that I should have been getting. I was struggling to I was struggling to be successful in the roles that I was in. So I started making changes, studying things like the charisma myth, books like that, books like How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Mm-hmm.
And those books really helped me to understand what I needed to do to become more influential and be able to make more strategic moves in my life to be successful. I started to, be more of a planner, to understand how my introversion works and the things that I can do to kind of battle that and, get around it without having to drain myself. So that was definitely, it took years to really get to a point where I felt like I had mastery, but definitely was something that changed my life.
Absolutely. As I said in your intro, you just were awarded a Women's Leadership Award. How did that feel to receive that kind of accolade from peers in your industry?
That was tremendous validation. The way they distribute that award, it comes from votes from your peers. And so in the end, they give you the letters that people wrote voting you in. And I read those letters and I nearly cried because when I looked at them and the things that they said about me, being a person that had added value to their lives, someone they could count on for resources, somebody that was basically a positive force within the office. That wasn't who I was before. I wasn't not a positive person in the past, but I was definitely not someone who stood out. And to know that I have succeeded in making myself someone who stands out, someone who stands out as someone who has value. I mean, that changed the way I even looked at myself. I think that one thing that I've recently learned is that people in leadership positions, people that sometimes look like they have it all together, they often don't validate themselves, don't feel. And this is true for myself. I don't validate myself. I don't accept that, I am in a place where people can appreciate me in that way. And so it's really nice to be able to receive that validation from someone that it's on paper. It's on paper and I can't ignore that I do have value. I am important. I have meaning and I'm a leader.
So interesting, right? Because as somebody who teaches about influence, as somebody who teaches about, you know, how people can kind of step into that area of confidence so that they can be seen, they can be heard, and they can inspire and motivate others to be struggling with that so much yourself, and then need that external validation. I think, you know, that's really the journey that so many of us as leaders struggle with.
Yeah, I agree with that. I talk to so many people, and sometimes there are people that I've looked up to for years and thought, oh my gosh, she has to believe she has it together. And no one ever just says, oh yeah, I totally have it together. I am at the top of my game. I very rarely hear that. And I've had many mentors who are levels and levels above where I'm at today, and they still wouldn't tell you that. They wouldn't say, you know, they might agree with you if you say, you ask them, are you a leader? But they may not agree with you if you say, you know, are you impactful? They might have to think about it and struggle to answer that.
Mm. Well, I'm so glad that you got the opportunity to feel that from your own peers, because I think that's really important in somebody's development, that they feel, you know, they could be 20, 30 years in, but if they're not getting a reflection that what they're doing is changing lives, either by one step or one word or in much larger ways, I think those are the leaders that step out of leadership, right? They're the ones that might leave because they really have no idea that what they're doing is making a difference.
Yeah, so true.
So I love it, Crystal. I know you've, over the past 12 years, you've been studying the power of persuasion and influence. We've been talking about that a little bit. Tell us why influence is so important to leaders in order for them to be successful and relevant.
One thing I want to say before I go too far is that what I believe influence is just controlling your own situation. So having the power to make changes, it doesn't have to be big. It could be something very small. I think a lot of people, when they think of influence, they think of big, big people like Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Oprah, Katie Couric. Those people, to them, are influential. But being influential just means deciding what you want in your life and how you want things to go and making adjustments to persuade people to make that happen for you. So influence is, you know, just like I talked about in my early stories of, you know, not being influential. I was pretty much, I would say I was pretty weak. And the power that I gained internally and just feeling that I can make a difference in my life, that I can change the way things are happening in my world, that was something that it was empowering, it was strengthening, it made me feel that I have control over my own life. And I think that's the most important feeling that you can have in the world. The feeling of helplessness and hopelessness, I think it makes us less impactful in the world. And so if you want to be impactful, it's important to know the importance of influence and to be able to have that influence. And so when I teach influence, it's all about making the decision, what do you want to happen, and then deciding who can make that happen, and then using the four keys, which are presence, authority, consistency, and visibility, and making those things work for you. So it's all about, when it comes to influencing people, it's all about just being a powerful presence, showing them that they should trust you, and then they're being there all the time. So people who are always in the public eye for politics, you view them as a politician. You trust that they're a politician, that they know what's going on. You may or may not like something that they're doing, but you believe that person is a politician, they know politics, and you trust that because they're visible in that role. They have built authority and a reputation in that role, and you start to trust that their judgment kind of follow them. So those people receive followers because of that. So being influential just means deciding what you want and learning to use those skills to make change and create shifts.
So There's a lot of great stuff there, for sure. And I know that you're going to give a resource later, but I'm curious, what is one step that our listeners can take today if they were interested in mastering their influence?
One step you can make today is to write down a goal of one thing you'd like to make a change in your life, and writing down one person who can help to impact making that change.
That's great. And then, so of course, I'm going to ask you the next step, right? So they can they can then decide how they want to do change, and then who can help them, and then what? What do they do with that information?
And then you take that person, you sit down with them, and you ask them, what can we do to make this possible? But before you sit down with them, make sure that you've evaluated yourself. Do you have what it takes to make that happen? Usually what people are looking to make happen is something like a promotion or something like, you know, getting more clients to make more money. Things like that, you need to kind of evaluate yourself first before you go out to other people. So make that evaluation. Am I presenting myself with a powerful presence? Do I seem like a legitimate authority in this business? And am I doing everything that I can to make my presence known? And when you're doing those things and you go to those people and you say, how can we make this happen? They're going to trust you and they're going to say, oh, by golly, I need to make this happen for this person because she is legitimate.
I love that. I love that because really it's the reflection of who am I as a person and am I up for that challenge, right? So you're asking whether you're the leader you want to be in this small way, but an important way. And then it's about starting of building your team so that you have the support to step out and be something different, something new, to make those changes, which we all need support as leaders, for sure. I love that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's just as simple as, let's say, one major example is getting that promotion at work. Okay, so you write down your list of who can help you get the job you want. So you know which job you want, you know what department it's in, you know who works in that department, and you know who leads that department. So now it's your job to get yourself together first, put together your own personal presentation and make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing to present yourself with authority, and then going to those people on your list of who has the authority to get you in that position that you want to be in, and just talking to them, starting the conversation, telling them what you want, asking what you can do for them, and making sure that you're creating trading and collaborative relationships so that they feel like you're a partner.
I love that. So I'm curious, because you're really, you know, your work is all in the leadership field. What is one thing that's really exciting you about leadership today?
We have so much access to resources today. There is an abundance. I mean, even what you're doing right now, this is access to information and resources to learn about other people's journeys. For me, I studied books. I watched Oprah, a lot of Oprah, and I learned through so many different places and areas. And just recently, the other day actually, I sat down, I was talking with someone from another generation, I think she's a baby boomer, and she said, I envy you. I envy people from your age group, because when I was coming up, I did not have access to all of this. I could pick up a book, but mostly she said it was trial and error. We have access to case studies every single day, podcasts, blogs, books on tape. Mm. We can walk to work on our morning commute, or whatever, you know, driving your car on your morning commute while listening to somebody's whole life story in an hour. It's incredible.
It is. It absolutely is. Now, Crystal, we've reached the time that I'm calling the lightning round, where I get to provide you with a series of questions and you get to come back with some amazing, mind-blowing answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready. All right.
All right. Let's go. So, what was holding you back from becoming a leader?
Fear. Fear of the responsibility. Being a leader is a great responsibility, and people are looking to you. And I thought that I needed to be perfect in order to be a leader. But now I understand that I just have to be myself and to be impactful.
Mm, that's great. Fear's coming up a lot, as you can imagine. So just as a follow-up, I know we're in the lightning round, but I want to follow up on this one so I get to, right? So in terms of that piece of perfection, talk about how that held you back.
Perfection is a burden. It makes you you choose not to act because you're afraid of what could happen, and not taking those risks holds you back from the rewards.
So how did you bust through that need and want to constantly strive for perfection? Because I think that anybody who, you know, might see themselves as a high achiever or really want to make an impact or really care about people, there's a part in them that is about perfection. What did you find helpful in kind of busting through that?
I liken it to the way I see a lot of singers kind of do this, where maybe they started in Disney, maybe such as Christina Aguilera, they start in the Disney sphere, and then they go the opposite, and they start being uber sexy and completely transitioning. And then in the end, they find their way into a balance. Mm-hmm. I did that with myself. I was super perfectionist, and then I had this moment where I said, you know what, I'm just going to be the opposite. And so I started being just incredibly, I'm going to do whatever I want to. I'm going to be myself, and I'm not going to care. And I made mistakes. I did think, you know, it wasn't pretty. And then I kind of found myself in a middle ground where now I realize, okay, you know, there's a balance to be had here. So I don't think I did it in the most graceful way. Definitely found myself on the opposite end and then found a way center.
I love that. So what is the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice I ever received was to network. I didn't understand what it meant at the time. I thought, okay, well, I need to go to these network events, hand out my business card, drink some wine, and say hi to people, right? But true networking is really about digging deep with people, keeping up with people, having relationships where you do things for each other, and then in the end, when you need something, they're there for you.
Absolutely. So can you share one of your personal habits that you believe contributes to your success?
One of my personal habits that contributes to my success is my ability to stop and just have a day where I don't do anything. And it's very hard. I don't do it as often as I'd like to, but that habit helps me to find clarity. If I'm continually going, I can't get out of that zone where I'm working. When I actually walk away, I find innovation. I find efficiencies.
That's great. That's a great reminder. And for the last question, do you have any internet or online resources that you're in love with that you would love to share with our listeners?
I absolutely love, love, love Buffer. Buffer helps me to keep up with my activity on social media so that if I have regular tweets that I share, regular posts that I share, I can just have those scheduled for the week and not think about it. And then the rest is just interacting with people. So I can be present and just interacting with folks versus publishing all these kind of announcement posts, which are necessary.
Mm-hmm. That's a great resource. So now I would love it for you, Crystal, to talk a little bit about that great free resource that you wanted to share with our listeners today. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. If you visit my website at crystalcovington.com, Crystal with a K, K-R-Y-S-T-A-L, you can find a free video introduction to influence, and there's also a free download of my book, The Four Keys to Influence.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with all of them. I can't think of something that's more helpful in terms of the everyday and to growing as a leader and as a business owner. So
thanks
for the
so
leaders,
I really appreciate this opportunity.
Absolutely. And so for our listeners out there, you can find links to this resource and everything else that Crystal and I have been talking about in today's interview by going to developsolutions.com/leadership summit. And that's dvlpsolutions.com/leadership summit. Now, Crystal, I have so loved talking with you today. You're so down to earth and just absolutely lovely and warm. And I love the stories have been great. They're just so heartfelt and heart-centered and just real. And I thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you. And I hope to have more conversations and see more of what you're doing in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we wrap this up, I'd love it if you could share one last piece of advice with our listeners and then tell them how they can find you, and then we'll say goodbye.
Okay, one last piece of advice is to believe you can control things around you. You can control and make changes in your life. And you can find me at crystalcovington.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You've been so generous with your time and your experience and your expertise, and you've given so much great information that everybody's going to be able to capitalize on how to increase their influence right away. So thank you so much for your time today, Crystal.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And again, for all of our listeners out there, you can find links to this resource and everything else we've been talking about in today's interview by going to developsolutions.com/leadership summit. And while you're there, we would really love to hear from you. Tell us what you loved about today's interview and ask any questions that you're dying to know. I'll make sure that Crystal gets all of that information and that we'll both be able to answer anything that you want to know. And so with that, we say goodbye for now. Go out and be the leader that you are meant to be. This is Jennifer Olson, and we'll catch you next time.